Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Amen. Welcome to Talk Straight. I am Minister Ricky Waller. I'm sitting in on this night for Pastor Dockery. We trust that on this night that you may be able to call in and have a dialogue with us to hear from you. I know that he's out on a mission to do the will of God, and we pray that Pastor Dockery will do all that he is designed to do. But in the meantime, as I stand in the gap for him on this night, we still need your calls to be able to make effective what we can do together. And the Word of God says, where there's two or three gathered together, he says in my name, touching and agreeing, there he said he would be in the midst of us. So you are welcome. We need your calls. Also, for the ones who would be listening, again, this is Talk Straight, and we desire to do all that we can do to, again, to encourage those that were calling in and, of course, those that were here. The Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And on this night, we want to deal with the topic tonight, how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. And we utilize scripture according to what he have left for me to bring forth. It's amazing to just know that there are sick people even in the church. And it says how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. I want you to remember that. And let's go according to the scripture. In the book of James, chapter 5, it states very clear in verse number 14 through 16. And it reads, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Lord, have mercy. Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Glory to God. So we want to just bring forth what it would be like for the church. And I don't know about you, but I have something to say concerning that myself. I just want to hear from you. Today, is the church lined up with being a neighborhood clinic, or is it showtime? Amen. Another day at church as a tradition of men. Glory to God. Is it any power in the church? That's what we need to find out, and we need to do so by way of speaking truth, and that's what this is all about on this night, according to Talk Straight. So call in. You're welcome.
Pastor,
we just want to hear from you. Yes. Uh-huh.
We have a new caller coming in, caller 3122. Welcome to the show.
Amen. What? 31.
Caller 3122, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm 3122. I'm not new. I'm from Selma.
Amen.
Welcome.
Okay, welcome. Well, we want to thank you, and I know that she's only making it known that we have a call in, and on this night, you have to be considered new because she don't know who actually called in before. Glory to God. But I remember you, brother. Appreciate your calling in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We really do. And I just wanted to kind of focus in on what the topic is tonight, and we're talking about how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. That sounds like to me when a person goes to the clinic, they're going there because they're having a problem, amen? And some of the things that's presented here, you know, in the church, people are lost, confused, unsure, unclear. And when you have a church house full of people sometimes, or whether, as I said earlier, whether it's two or three, amen, you know, doesn't have to have a lot of people. If you just have two people and someone is there to give instructions according to the will of God, that's the church that I believe that I would rather be in versus being in there with a lot of people, but there's no power according to the will of God. But the scripture says, brother, and I'm going to come back to you if you will, I'm going to rerun what the scripture says in the book of James, chapter 5, it says again in verse number 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Means that it means a lot. It does some good. So, in other words, if a person follows that order, when it says, if someone among you sick, you must call on the elders. I think that's talking about in the church. And that they should pray and anoint him with oil and things of that nature in the name of the Lord. But he went on further to say, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." And so if a person is sick, just the prayer would save him, not because of the condition he may still remain to seem like he's in. Once the prayer is put in motion and the effectiveness of the prayer, because he said that it is the effective verbal prayer of a righteous man, availeth much, meaning it's going to do some good. So are they doing that in the church today? Or is it just the same old, back to church again? You understand? And have a good time and leave up out there, not recognizing that some people are walking into the church house and they're sick, not because of they need to go to the doctor according to some hospital, but the clinic, we're talking about the church should be having power. They should be having something that's being offered in the church that will cause people to know that strongholds are being pulled down. Talk to me about that. Do you think that that's happening in the church? I mean, you can only come up with what you know. And I see I have something to say about that, but I'm going to wait and ask other callers if they have something to say, because people are lost, people are confused, people are unsure, and people are unclear. So talk to me, my brother. What do you have to say concerning that? And we back it up with the scripture, you know. How the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. Isn't that awesome to know that the church should be the neighborhood clinic? And some people may say, no, man, this is church. This is where we go in there and kick it. And then we go out and we go home and we go to fancy places to eat our food and things like that. Is that what church is about? Or is it about breaking down strongholds? Talk to me, brother. You got anything to say concerning that?
Dr. Wilder.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read something from the Holy Quran of the Moorish American. It was written by Noble Drew Ali, and it's called the...
Hold up before you do that. Listen to where I'm getting ready to come from now. See, I can't respond to that because I know nothing about that. I have to stay with the order, and then if you can come with what I'm bringing to the table with James chapter 5 and verse 14, see, I don't want to deviate from because I'll be lost
but
myself.
Pastor Wilder. Pastor Wilder.
I don't know. Uh-huh.
Pastor Wilder.
Yes, sir.
I think it's in line with what you're saying. It's called the end of time and the fulfilling of prophecy.
Yeah.
And it's a piece in there that it's a piece in there I want to read to you. It said, therefore, we are returning the church and Christianity back to the European nations as it will prepare for their forefathers for their earthly salvation. So I think there's some sick people out here that need healing. I think we need to go deeper.
Yeah, I want to make sure of that because, again, I can hear that, but I want to make sure that you know I'm going according to what I've learned myself.
I hear what you're saying, but Pastor Wilder, you know we've been in America, and we've been misguided. And guess what, Pastor Wilder? When I heard that, I had to go deep.
Let me share this with you before we go any further, though. I'm saying to you that I'm willing to hear you, but what I'm saying, I may not know what you're talking about. And if I do, I'll be all right with it, but I'm letting you know that I may not know. I'm not saying
I'm going to let you, brother, and I'm going to let you know, Pastor Wilder, I got my eyes on you guys that's playing church and Christianity. But I'm going to say this to Pastor Wilder. Whole time my father was living, I know the Pope wasn't my daddy, and I know Queen Elizabeth wasn't my mama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's when I say I got to go deep with you, because I'm going to go deep with you now. And what I know about my mama's homeland, it wasn't no churches over there, it was temples. So I got to be honest with you now.
Okay. Come on, talk to me then. Let me hear what you got to say so I can...
The Christ that I know of brought the temple of perfected man. And that's the Christ I know of. When you talk about church, you're talking about Peter. When you're talking about Christianity, you're talking about Paul. And if you tell me something about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, there's a positive spirit and then there's a negative spirit. And I'll be sitting back, Pastor Wilder, listening and watching. And that's even with my women and my children. I listen and I watch.
Okay, the Bible says watch and pray, so that's not a bad thing. And words are powerful no matter where they come from. And this is the reason why I say I want you to hear the scripture with it. What I said about it says, if any man among you, and he's talking about, is any man among you sick? You know, is any sick among you? And then it says, let him call on the elders of the church. So if you're saying if the elders of the church are in there, should they be called upon because people are sick and it doesn't have to be a sickness from one in particular thing because it's a lot of ways you can look at to be sick because the scripture does say here, you know what I mean, that the sick would be saved.
You and know, Pastor Wall, I got to be honest with you, Pastor Wall. I got to be real honest with you. And I think y'all know who my dad got a student out there. And guess what? I'm finding some stuff out down here in Alabama. And guess what,
thank
Pastor
you.
Walla? And I don't want to hurt the women and the children. And I think there's stuff been coming up over the news media that some of our children are getting molested and hurt. And Pastor Walla, my some of the things my father, they accused him of before he died, Pastor Walla. Guess what? Some of it, what my sister said, was true, and some of it wasn't. And guess what? One of his students is running around in the media and national. And guess what? What my father told me, I got my eyes on him, Doc.
Okay.
I got my, and guess what, Pastor Walla? You had to pray through me with some of it. Because guess what?
Okay.
The key word, Pastor Walla, is orientated. I wasn't orientated like that. So that's why we not stop and look.
Okay, which is not a bad thing to stop and look because you're paying attention. But now we're going on into the deepness of...
That's when you're probably an elder of me. I'm 58 years old. But I got my eyes on my dad's student, Jesse Jackson. Don't think I ain't looking at you. And I got my eyes on Albert Turner Jr. Because the plaque down in Marion is not correct. And I got a baby out here. Now, if my wife come tell me my baby touched, I ain't calling none of the good old boys and they network and the Pope. I'm coming to get you myself.
Okay. Now
we got babies and children out here now.
You say you're going to take it personal because there are some sick
people. Thank you, Doc, because that's my child.
And they're doing things that I would say that would give you evidence that a lot of people are sick in so many areas. And that's a good point. You know, there are some people sick in many other areas. But if you're reaching out, is what I want to make sure that the scripture is saying here. I want to follow up with what the scripture is saying so I can make sure that I get the understanding. Because the word of God says that wisdom is the principal thing. But he didn't say, therefore, get wisdom. But in all of your getting, get understanding. That's what Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says. And so I'm seeking wisdom so I can, in the end, get some understanding. Now, in understanding the scripture from what I just read, and it's asking a question, is any sick among you? You say, let him call for the elder. That means he's reaching out. If a person know that they need some help and they're coming into the church, should they be able to receive help in the church is my question. And I would say, what I need to say now, I would say that they should be able to go to the church house and to receive the strength, the power, the prayers, so that we can acknowledge that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, meaning that I should be able to come up into the building, even though I'm sick. I got a lot of addictions, but the word of God is also reminding me if I just made that move and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. See, that's what's going to save the sick is the prayer. And it's not the condition that he's in. It's the prayer of the condition that's going to cause him to be saved. That's what a lot of people need to be, and that is saved. And also forgiven, because he said they shall be forgiven him. They be raised up, you know, if they committed any sins, and they shall be forgiven. That's a beautiful thing. It goes on further.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, confession is good for the soul. That's why it says confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual verb forever righteous man availeth much. That's an outstanding way to approach something like that when someone is sick. You can't help yourself. You need somebody to help you. So we're going to pray, believe God for you. That's what the church should be about. I today would say that they're not lined up like that for the most part. I haven't been to every church in the world. Neither have I been to every church in this city. But I do know that I have gone to church in those buildings. And I know the tradition is so strong that they would go in and do what they're supposed to do while they're in there and leave out and forget all about the people that they see when they leave out. See, the word says that the harvest truly is the laborers are few, meaning there are some people on the outside of the church that's sick. So if one came inside of the church, surely you should be able to give them some understanding that, hey, man, you're in the right place. Keep showing up. Let us pray for you. I believe you're going to get some strength. You're going to get some power. You're going to be forgiven. And then you'll leave out of the building a new person. Is that happening? And if it's not, my goodness, it's time for the church to check itself. That's what I would say. It's time for the church to check itself. Glory to God. So we're going to just kind of look into this and think about what I think Pastor Doctor shared with me, and he asked me would I speak on this, how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. My goodness, could you imagine? the neighborhood clinic, the church becoming the neighborhood clinic, every church on every street corner or wherever it's located in the city of Nashville and abroad, if they utilize the churches for that purpose, man, you'll see a better world. I believe that because I was sick. I was that person. I had to come on in here and talk to you a little bit about that. In case someone else called in, you can dial the number, area code 657-383-0944. Welcome to Talk Straight. We need you to call in. But I was sick. I want to go back to that. I went into the church house just as I was because I heard someone say that I can come just like I was. And I did. And I was in a strange place when I went in there. So I didn't look at it as a clinic. I looked at it as a group of people that was in there. A lot of people in that church when I went. And they looked like all of them had been healed or they already were saved or they knew the Lord and I didn't. And so I kept showing up. And then one day I decided that I needed to do some of the things that's been suggested here. For instance, come to the altar. You know, come to the altar and pray. And I was afraid to do that, even though I was sick. I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to the lifestyle. And I was afraid to go down there. But one day I got bold enough because I heard someone say these words, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." And I knew I needed some help. Knew I was sick, my brother. And so I got bold enough, and I went down there. But what I had to do, I want you to listen to me now. What I had to do when I went down there, I had to make sure that I was going to leave everything about my life at the altar, all my sickness, all my diseases that I was dealing with that was controlling me, from the cigarettes to the drugs to the drinking to the selling of the drugs to everything that I was doing. I was sick, and I left it all at the altar. And when I left that altar, brother, I knew I was a new man. I couldn't see it, but I knew I was. And it didn't matter what I was going to do when I left that altar. Remember, it was the prayers that saved me because I was sick, glory to God. And then the cleansing comes after that, and that's the order in which I went. I went there in 1990. I got delivered in 1992, so it let you know I had to wait a little while. See, he forgave me. And then he cleansed me from those addictions that caused me to be sick. So I know how it is to be sick, and I know how it is to go into a church looking for some help. And I'm thinking the church should be a place called a clinic, hospital, whatever they want to call it, somewhere where a person can get some help. So on this night, we're looking for someone to call in and to elaborate or to ask questions concerning that because people, again, are lost, confused, unsure, unclear, and they're going into the church without knowledge of what to do to overcome these strongholds, man. And people are probably afraid to open up. And so I'm wondering, what are the churches doing? What are people doing inside these buildings? Is it just, again, showtime, another day in church, and this is how we do it, all because of what you think that you are? You know, the Bible says what a person thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you to be something that you're not, you deceive yourself. So I don't want to be deceived going to church. I want to go in there and say, man, I'm going in here to get me some help. And that's what the church should be about. That's my take on it. If you got something that you'd like to share, come on and talk to me. I'm all right with it.
And we're Pastor just Waller. Yeah. Pastor Waller?
I'm listening. Yes, sir.
I came home to Tennessee. And what I saw when I got home, I saw a cousin that says she's a minister, but she was pushing me away. And I was wondering, asking myself, why is she pushing me away? Because she protected me when I was a little boy. But now I know why she's pushing me away. A friend of mine came to me the other night, and he gave me a name. And I'm going to say it right over there. J-I-M, last name is T-O-W-E-Y. Look him up. I'm going to say this. The churches today are about money, and to me, they ain't about saving souls.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I just want to hear from somebody else. You understand? I got you on that, brother. I'm right there where you are. So, in other words, you're telling me that the churches are not about saving souls, but they're about being in control by way of in it for the money. You understand? Jiving and things like that. So they, to me, they're sick. If they're in it for the money, they're in it for the wrong reason. So that, to me, makes them be considered as a person that's sick. Now, I'm talking to you straight tonight because that's what we do. We talk straight. And there are people in the Bible that for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. So that person got to be sick if you're in it like that. Amen. And then we're getting ready to go into a station break just for a moment. It won't be very in about 5 minutes, so we want to make sure in our five-minute realm right here that we're talking, we will also come back after we hear a song right now. But I like what you said. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there are a lot of people that are not concerned about saving souls in the church. See, the enemy will come up into the church and deceive people. And the first one he will love to deceive is the person standing there before the people. That person that's standing there before the people, if he's being deceived, then it would be a pass down of the people that's in the arena. Let me give you a good example, unless the weight maker come and straighten it out. And we'll talk about that after we get back from our break. And I don't want to go into it right now, but remind me to bring that to the table, and I will. And I want to elaborate on what you just said. And I believe that it's a lot of that going on. People in there jiving the people, man, and causing these people to be in that crippling position much longer than they should or would be if they was teaching them what the Word of God actually says, you know, because people are confused, lost, unclear, you see, and unsure. You know, it's a lot of that going on. So we need to, in other words, strip the enemy from his power. Glory to God. And I think tonight what you just brought up would bring forth information that would say, okay, if they're in there like that, then they need to be considered as being sick. And if it wasn't, why would the Word of God say, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil? That means that's sickness, man. Glory to God. So I'm glad you brought that up, and we will talk a little bit more about that as we, again, fastly approach this three-minute mark here, and we will get the song. And I am, again, I'm right there, and I'm basically eager to talk about this. I would come from the book of Luke when I share this with you about the person that was sick. But Jesus came through and straightened the person out, and the person who was the overseer of this church house or the synagogue, he was upset at Jesus because Jesus brought some good information through there that healed a person. Amen. So we'll talk about that, brother. Is that all right? When this station break come about and we hear this song, we got to talk about that, man. The church needs to be stripped if they're in there jiving, like you said. They're not saving souls. They're not saving souls. Come on. Wow, you're not saving souls. This is what it's all about. It's about saving souls. So we're going to, on this night, invite anyone to call and share with us. If you don't think it's about saving souls, give me a good reason why it's not. If the church is there and it says whoever will, let them come, then why not be there to help them help themselves? And I'm glad there was a man that was there when I went to the church, and what he was speaking when I went there. You see, brother, I didn't have a Bible. I just went there, and I allowed him to speak to my ears. And I heard him say one day that God is able. That's all I can handle. I was in there for a couple of hours, but I couldn't hear a whole lot what was going on until I heard him say. And he was the pastor of the church, the overseer, which he's supposed to be feeding the flock. And I was a part of the flock. I'm lost. And he said God was able. And, man, it made me come back for more. And I kept coming back, you understand? And I found out later on that God truly is able because he changed my life from a 20-year addiction to a drug that I say was the strongest drug on the planet to me. And that was heroin. And I've been delivered now for 26 years. So I have a right to know what it means to be sick. Amen? And so right now we're going to go into this, again, station break here and the song. And as we come back, my brother, we are going to continue that, what you brought up, and elaborate on it a little bit about they're not saving souls for the most part. For the, most of them are not saving souls. We'll put it like that. We don't want to say all of them are not, but all of them need to be if they're part of God's army and the Lord's army, you know, you should be trying to save souls. So, okay, we're ready for the station break right now.
Thank you.
praise God. He's an on-time God. Isn't it amazing? Glory to God. You're listening to Talk Straight. And on behalf of Pastor Reuben Dockery, who is on the campaign trail tonight, we bless God that I'm sitting in as a co-host. My name is Minister Ricky Waller. And I trust that something that's being said as we talk about some of the things that's going down in the church today. We want to come back and elaborate. I think Brother Don made a good point about what's happening in most churches today. They're not there for the saving of the souls. And that, to me, is basically a disrespect to the kingdom of God system. So we just want to just go according to the word of God. And he brought up something, and I just told him I wanted to share something about that, what happened, to let you know that it is a lot of jab that's going on up into the churches and the synagogues. And I want to come according to the book of Luke chapter 13. It says in verse number 10, this is what happened. Jesus was coming through one day. And it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't lift up herself. In other words, she was bent over. She was in a crippling position. She had an addiction for 18 long years. And Jesus just happened to be coming through. You know, Jesus do his thing, man. He go through cities and villages, teaching and preaching and doing all this good time work, man. And all of a sudden, he made a stop. And then when Jesus was in there, and the Bible says, according to the 12th verse, he says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto the woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. In other words, Jesus spoke it. He spoke power over this woman. He seen this woman in there and knew her condition and knew how long she had been that way, showing up in the synagogue. You would think that the ruler who was over the synagogue was going to attend to the woman, but apparently not. But anyway, and after he said those words, and then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and then she glorified God. Don't you know this woman had been in that condition for that long, and all of a sudden she was made free, and as soon as she discovered that she was free, she started to glorify God. Isn't that awesome, brother? You would think that was a rejoicing time for everybody that was in the building, you would think. Is that correct? But it wasn't like that. Because the very ruler of the synagogue got upset at Jesus. I mean, let me explain to you how he got upset. And the Bible says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, meaning he was angry, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. In other words, he said, look, while I'm in here, don't nobody get healed. You can come, glory to God, on them other days. And I don't want you to know that Jesus ain't got no business healing nobody over here, because I don't do it like that. That sounds like to me, brother, what you was talking about is not about the saving of the soul. It's about the making all the noise and the getting them people's money and things like that. I don't know his motives, but it sounds like to me he didn't have no respect for Jesus coming through doing any healing. Because you would have thought that, hey, man, I'm glad you stopped by to do something that I wasn't able to do, or to demonstrate your power so I can learn how to do it. He didn't come at Jesus like that. He talked to the people and told the people that they can come on any of them other days, not on this day, because we don't do it like that. Amen. But Jesus let him talk. Let me tell you what he said. Jesus responded to him, which it was the ruler that he responded to, after letting him say all of those things to the crowd. And then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite. He called him a hypocrite. So what would you consider the people in the church if they're not doing the will of God, if they're not saving souls? Wouldn't they be considered as hypocrites if a person is an overseer and he's supposed to be feeding the flock and he's not doing it and he's there for the money? Call that person a hypocrite, man. And I myself know that I can only identify with the man that I knew that brought some healing in my life, because he spoke a word to me, and I thank God for the overseer, the pastor, late James Cook, and I always give him his props. Had he not spoke that encouraging word to me, I mean, I would have just been going to church with that addiction that I had, and would have just added many more years if I would have been able to live and be amongst the people. But I'm so glad that you brought it up again. What do you think about that? About that ruler that didn't like Jesus when he came through there and healed that woman? And the crowd seen it. See, when the crowd saw that, the crowd was like rejoicing, because they seen Jesus came through there with some healing. And the ruler been jiving all that time, And, you know, the crowd seen that. And so the crowd was rejoicing when that woman got healed, man. And it's a beautiful thing to know that if somebody get healed in the church, that should be a party going on. Instead of a party going on, they're up there partying by not saving souls, jiving and doing all the things that they shouldn't be doing up into the church for the most part. And that's not what the church is for. Going back to the topic today, how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. Now, we just got evidence out of the book of Luke chapter 13 that there is some jiving going on in the synagogue. And it's evidence by the ruler didn't like Jesus when he came through and healed that woman that was in that condition for 18 long years. She was grateful to be free. With them 18 years, she was bent over and couldn't raise her own self up, man. And I know that's what that heroin done for me, man. I was bent over for 20-plus years of my life. But then when I heard the word of God from the man of God, that he was speaking with power, then my life changed. Glory to God. And I'm so glad.
Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir. Talk to me.
When you was talking about, I think you're talking about the woman with the issue of blood.
No. Not the woman with the issue of blood. That was a woman that was sitting in that woman with the issue of blood over more than 12 years. This woman was in
okay.
a condition for 18 long years. You know, she could have been on, I don't know what she was on, but she was bound by the spirit that Satan had her bound, you see. And that's what goes on further and it talks about. It says that, oh, not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath. See, that's the thing. See, Satan had this woman bound. And in that condition, see, I just so happened to have a drug addiction. I don't know what her addiction was, but she wasn't able to lift herself up. Let's just say she was addicted to drugs or whatever she was addicted to. She didn't have the power to get free until Jesus spoke power in her, and the ruler never appreciated that. He didn't rejoice. He didn't say, hey, Jesus, thank you for coming by here, man, helping me with her because she'd been showing up and I just didn't know what to do. He didn't do any of that. He just got angry and started talking to the crowd and told the crowd, look, don't come in with all that healing stuff. We don't do that here. Yeah,
Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
The reason I went to the woman about the issue of blood, I started doing some study on that, and as I got doing the study, that same woman that got healed with the issue of blood, she built a monument to Jesus, and the Roman government tore it down, is what my deepest studies. Now, this woman you talking about, now guess what? Now, I'm an individual like this. I get down and tear the word up and study, you understand, and go deep in depth. Because guess what I'm noticing? We're repeating the same old, what you say, cycles, and we need to break some of these cycles.
Right. That's right. You know, they need to focus on healing people. That's where the person should come into the church for. As a person said, I'm sick. I need to be here. Is it in the power?
Yes, sir.
Is it in the love here? Is it in the joy? Is it in the freedom in here? Because if it's not, then it's not going to work. And let me go further into this right here. I'm going to also go a little deeper because you went deep, and that's what you do when you go. And I like that because that's the way we should be. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 25 say these words. He said, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. So could you imagine what a true witness would do? A true witness is going to deliver souls, but a deceitful witness is going to speak lies. So it is a lot of that going on, and as we elaborate on it, I mean, if you got something on your mind and you want to call in and glory to God, and if you have something to share concerning that, it would be beautiful. However, the truth is the only thing going to get us free. Pastor Doctor always, he messed with me about this all the time. He asked me to speak about the truth, and he knew I was talking about John 8:32. And it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In the church houses, in these buildings, people going in them buildings sick. Why shouldn't they know the truth? Give people the truth, and it will heal them. It will help them. It will prepare them, if you will, for change. As I say, I didn't change in 1990. By way of evidence, yes.
Pastor Wall, we have a caller, 1098. Hello.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. 1098. I know that guy right there. How you doing there, brother?
Good.
Oh man, welcome, man, to Talk Straight tonight, man. We're in here just talking about some of the things that's going down. I know you can come in and talk to us about some of this, man. I'm glad you called, man. this is one of the things that we've been talking about how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. Outcast, man, listen, man, I know you've had some experience in your life and change came about through it, man. So you gotta talk to us about some of that. And I was utilizing the scripture according to the book of James, you know, how we have a right to look for people in the church to do things for some of the people that are lost, confused, unsure, unclear, you know, things like that. And then it tells us in the book of James, is any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's beautiful. And then it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talk to us about that, man. Should the people in the church be expecting to be healed when they go, or should they just expect to say, oh, it's church again, let's go in and we'll go prepare a meal when we leave and say we went to church and we had a lot of fun, all we had, we were getting out. Should that be what church is about, or should it be some healing going on up in there? Talk to us about that, man.
Well, you know, that's a question on that's a question with a question.
Yeah.
I'd rather not elaborate on that one. Now, who is that online, Don?
Brother Don, I think it's Brother Don over here talking out of Salem.
Okay, let Brother Don elaborate some more.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Brother, before you came on, Brother Outcast, I see some connections between Tennessee and Alabama. I'm glad Brother Dockery brought that up. Is the church really doing some help? And before you came on, I was telling him I came home to Tennessee to my uncle's funeral, and I saw a first cousin of mine protecting me when I was a little boy when we first integrated schools, but I seen her running away from me, and I didn't know why. I pretty much know why. Mr. Halliburton, you remember he told me about that faith-based initiative.
Right.
And another brother came to me who taught me about the Sabbath. He's Seventh Day Adventist. He came to me the other night, Brother Outcast, and looked this name up. It's J-I-M, Jim, last name T-O-W-E-Y, and it deals with that faith-based initiative. And I was telling the pastor there, Pastor Weiler, that what I see is they're all about money, but they are not really there to save souls.
Yeah, great point. I mean, he put it down out there, and we scripture to back it up, man. You know, he's on target with that. And I didn't want to just say that because I understood that I went for some help, and that's what I got. So, yeah, talk to us about that, Outcast, because then he brought it up, and he said that about the money. And, you know, the Word of God says, for the love of money, it is the root of all kind of evil. Talk to us about that.
Well, the thing is, you know, in today's society, you know, if you have a building, if you own it, you don't pay rent. But you're going to pay the other necessities like gas, water, things of that nature, and property tax. You got your pimps.
Watch it, guys.
Pimps in the pool pit. As I would say, I believe in God.
Bless God.
I pray. I don't have to go into a church in order to be healed. If I have that strong faith in God, and God is looking after me, I'm automatically healed. I don't buy that one. You know, go to church to get healed. Nah.
I got what you're saying, and I understand it because you don't even have to go to church to be healed. But just in case a person did come in, and then you go to the scripture, what it says, you know, and it talks about the people that's in there. However, you know, some people are lost, confused, you know, unsure, unclear, you know, that nature. And then you got, you know, scripture in there that's in the book of James that says, is any sick among you? And let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. See, And then it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, because that person came in. I'm that person that went in there. I was sick. I tried to get with him before I went in there. Okay, as I did. I didn't want to go in the church, because here I am. I'm that guy in the street, you know, running the streets and doing all this, that, and the other. I can't even help my own self. You know what I mean? I'm so weak and unsure and unaware that I don't have the power. So I had to go in there for some help. So I understand. I came there for help, and the man of God was speaking power coming out of the pulpit when I went. And I'm glad that he did. They stayed there 2 or 3 hours, because that's what they were doing when I went. The church was crowded, but I didn't know nothing about what was happening in there. I just know I heard him say that God is able. And, man, it struck me, because I heard him say God is able. So that made me come back again and again and again, you see, until I got the healing. And that's why I say that it was the faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord saved him. You see?
We have another caller, caller 4379.
Bless God, 4379.
Hello?
Welcome to Talk Straight.
Hey. So I've been following along, I guess, with the topic here.
Okay.
I guess my input that I wanted to kind of add on things was I think two things. I think definitely that the church is a place of healing, and I think that's what the primary function of the church is for. I think that there are some bad churches that are out there that are just in it for the wrong reasons. But I think that instead of focusing on those instances, even if they're great, but instead of focusing on those instances where those people are out there doing the wrong things, we should be focusing on trying to find and lift up the places that are doing the right things, because there are many churches that are out there with that mission, express mission of saving souls. So I think that we should not always be so quick to just rest on the fact that, oh, because some churches, because a lot of churches, because most churches, I won't say that, but because most churches is full of mess, we just going to discount churches altogether. You know, I think that that's the wrong attitude. And we should be about looking for that needle in a haystack, if you will, to find a good place or good places that are doing the right thing. Secondarily, I think that, you know, a second role of the church or a second aspect of the church, when you talk about healing, you talk about pretty much somebody being in a negative state or a poor state and coming up to being in a normal state or just a better state, a more whole state. But I think that a second part of the church is about wellness in general, and not only healing in the aspect of I'm down and I need to be brung up, but just on getting just more refined and better, being more studied. I think that in the Christian faith particularly, I think that it's really lacking as far as knowledge of the Bible and knowledge of God's word. I think it's really lacking in general. So I think just even in those situations where it should be able to do both, heal the people that are sick that really need to be healed, but it also should be able to take someone who is not necessarily like very, very bad off sick and be able to just take them and lift them up to make them really great ambassadors for God.
Oh, man, awesome, brother, awesome. I mean, I take everything that you said. You know, that's exactly what we were talking about. And I can't, I'm going to come back to you in just a second, if we will. But let me elaborate on to you when I said some. You know, in other words, some are, and this is what happened when I said it. I don't know if you was tuning in at the time. You know, when I brought forth what he talked about in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 10, when it said Jesus had went, you know, and stopped by one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And he, lo and behold, that was a woman that had an infirmity for 18 long years. Now, if you notice that this woman was showing up, you know what I mean, and quite natural, you know, she was showing up because of her condition and she was looking for some help. So should she be looking for some help in that place or should she not? You see what I'm saying? Whether they're doing right about it or not, she had a right to go looking for some help. And so Jesus came through and seen her, knew her condition, called her to him, told her she was healed. She accepted the healing before he put his hands on her. And then when he put his hands on, laid his hands on it, and immediately the Bible said she was made straight. And then she started to glorify God. Now, the ruler of the synagogue seen the healing, seen her glorifying the Lord, and then he knew that it was a crowd of people in there that normally would come all the time, possibly. Now he's got to stop the service and say, hold it. Say 6 days in which you all, you know, can go to work and be healed on those days, but not on this day when we come up in here, because we shuck and jive. In other words, is what I'm saying is what they're doing in there in that particular church. And Jesus let him talk. He kept talking, and as soon as Jesus let him finish talking, the first thing Jesus called him was a hypocrite, because he knew that he came through. He wasn't boasting. I don't believe Jesus was boasting about what he came through to do. He just seen a woman in there, and he healed her. And so it should have been a rejoicing party going on right there over what had just took place. But no, the ruler didn't like that, because there was a crowd that seen it, and now the crowd is going to be aware that for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. So he could have been there for the money. He could have been there, like Brother Outcast said, you know, pimping the people up into the churches, man, because it could be happening. So do we expect every church to be in a positive form? Should we have a right to think that? And I would say yes. Whether they're doing it or not is another thing. But I just think that by them being open, and they say, whosoever will, let them come. And so here's a sick person coming in. Have a right to come in there with expectations, because they don't know anything about they're not that bad off. They are bad off. And people can become ambassadors even when they are bad off. You know, that man that was, I'm going to turn it back over to you. We're going to have another break in just a second. But you remember the man that was demon-possessed, and he went and worshiped Jesus.
Absolutely.
And healed that man, and he became a messenger, an ambassador. You understand what I'm saying? People was afraid of this man. He was sitting up into the church with the church people, and they didn't like it because he was healed. They didn't know how to take him. What could they have been that way because they was chucking and driving in there, and he was pulling their car? You know, you never know. However, let's utilize these just 3 minutes, Outcast, before we go to this break. Talk to us about.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because we're going to come back, and I like what the brother brought to the table. So now we're faced with, why are the buildings open in the first place? Should it be open because this is a tradition of man? Or should it be open because a person can receive help when they go into a place like that? Because the only reason why I went in there, okay, the only reason why I went in there is that I was looking for some help.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when it comes to healing, basically it's a healing of the mind now. You know, the power that God gave Moses and the rest of them, you know, their power to a certain degree is not being issued from God like it was past centuries ago, 100,000 years ago. When I think of healing, I think of a healing of the mind, you know. Get your mind right with God, you know. People, you know, when you talk about healing, you know, if they got cancer, you know, they want to go into a church and, you know, someone, you know, lay hands on them and pray and you're healed. No. The hospital is a hospital. I guess God has shifted in that direction, you know, to give man the knowledge to cure certain diseases and things in that nature. That's a subject within itself. If I got cancer, or I need an operation, if I need a knee surgery, okay, I go to church, okay, they don't lay hands on me and say I'm healed. No, I have to go to a regular hospital in order to get healed. I guess God has put that healing in that area to a regular hospital instead of a church.
Sure.
You can't go to a church and they lay hands on you and say you're healed. No, you have to go to a hospital. I guess God, that conversation, it's not touchy, but I come to the reality of it. God has gave man the knowledge to heal certain illnesses and things of that nature. You can't get that in a church. You have to go to a hospital, a regular hospital. Can you follow me on that? What I'm saying?
Sure. You're making a good point.
You know,
you're making a very, very good point. There's a certain place you go to the hospital.
You know, This is you go back to the Bible where that they was picking up the snakes and things in that nature. No. You don't put God to the test like that.
If I may.
Go ahead.
Yeah, before we go, let me go to this little break right quick, and we will come right back. Keep that thought, hold that thought right there, because she's already lined up to bring forth, this break right here, and we'll come back, and you have something to say concerning what Alcan said, my brother. We'll let you talk. Just give us just a briefing, and we'll be right back after this break right here. Glory to God. Man, great topic. We right on topic, man. Welcome back to Great. We are talking about how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic. And I heard the song said, hey, amen, we're getting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, you know you refuse to be held down anymore once you get yourself together. Amen. And it says that some people have a negative vibe. They only want to put you down and belittle you. But I heard a brother say in the church that we should be focusing on the people, that's doing the right thing in the church versus the one that are not. And I wonder sometimes, how can you tell between the two sometimes? When you walk in there, you don't know, all you know that you're sick, and amen, you're walking into a place that you believe you can get the help. Should you have a right to walk in that place thinking in your mind that I need some encouraging words spoken unto me, that will help heal my mind, that can help give me a refreshing. You know, give me a refresh. You see what I'm saying? Because I know that I should be able to get this when I walk into this building. Talk to me, somebody, because if somebody get gunned down, they know where. Ain't no sense in trying to go into the church. We need to get to the hospital if we can. Or somebody get stabbed or somebody fall and have a wreck and things like that. We know that the hospital is a go. However, we're talking about all these buildings that they got around us now, you see, and they got the word that they pull out. And they got these things. And so the brother said something, and then Don said something, and Brother Outcast. So we got a lot that we have to deal with right now, which is wonderful, and we're going to stir it up and see how we can effectively be able to talk about, just in case a person for the very first time just have a thought to say, I'm going into the church today, and I'm just going to go because I need some help. Amen.
Right.
I need to hear something. I need to hear something, right? And it can bring forth the power of my mindset. It's like, okay, when I went in that building, man, I wasn't hearing anything out in the street like this here. God is able. It hit me hard. You know, it made me want to come back for more. So what I want to know is, what could cause us to want to come back for more? Is it what the preacher is saying? Is it what that pimp is saying? Or is it what the true man of God is saying? How can we tell the difference right off bat when we're coming in there hurting so bad, we're just looking for somebody to tell us something to make us, make us just believe that we heard something that's positive? And how in the world can we do that when they both sound alike? Good God Almighty.
Yeah, I think that.
Huh?
Yeah, I think that the thing that when you're looking for the authenticity,
you're breaking up just a little bit. Kind of talk to me. Let me see if I can hear you better. Can y'all hear me pretty good, brother?
Okay,
he was breaking up a little bit.
Okay, you're breaking up a little
better?
Bit, like I thought. Yeah, it's better, brother. It's better. Go ahead.
Okay, good. No, I was saying, when you're trying to discern, you know, between trying to choose a church home and you're trying to figure out if a place is, you know, a good place or if they're full of mess, I think that you should really look at it as the church leader, the pastor being more of a conduit for the word of God. So when you're going there, it should touch your spirit. You should feel something when you're at a place that, you know, that should be an indication of if this is the right place or not. You know what I mean? Man's words can only do so much. But the word of God should kind of touch you and pierce you to a point to where you know that this is God speaking through this person. You should be able to see God in the person that's talking in front of you.
Right.
And then second, whatever they're saying should be matching up with the word of God. So whenever they say something that is going not according to the word of God, then that's how you know that this place is not a good place, or this place is just full of mess, or it's corrupted. So I think two metrics you use when you're trying to find a place, you know, that, you know, you can use to discern if this is one of the good places or if it's one of the bad places. Now, as far as, you know, the hospital part, you know, I say two things on that. One, yes, of course, God has been able to give us knowledge about medical science and those types of things to be able to help with some of the ailments of our body. Now, with that being said, just because God is not necessarily healing people by hands or through people in a church don't mean he can't. You know, before Jesus came along and was raising people from the dead and healing lepers and healing blind people, there was thousands of years that went by where people weren't doing that. That wasn't happening then.
All right.
But that doesn't mean God couldn't have done it that whole time. He just chose to do that when Jesus came along. So just because obviously, you know, if you was injured physically, you know, you should go to a hospital, but I'm careful to not say God won't work in that way, because he's done it before. Jesus was here and Jesus walked around touching people and there wasn't a hospital. And, you know, they didn't have other ways to explain that. So obviously these people in a church, they ain't Jesus. So that's where you got to use your common sense to know these people is not the Messiah walking around, so they're not going to be able to do those things like that. But, you know, I'm careful to make that statement to say that God won't heal in this way or he won't heal in that way.
So you're saying he's able.
But
if
you want to go to a church,
he's able to do it. You're basically saying he's able, even if he don't do it, You know, there's a thing that they were saying a long time ago, you know, like them guys that was off into the furnace, our cash, you know, the guys that was off in the furnace, you know, and they say if God don't do it, we know he's able. You know, it's
exactly.
One of those types of things. You see, now, this is where you're coming from, brother. So we praise God for knowing that he is able. It's just about sometimes your faith, you know, in certain areas, in certain arenas, you know what I mean? It's like, can I break this cigarette habit? You know I tried it myself. And, you know, I didn't know how to do it, you know. So I went inside the building. I heard some encouraging words. I heard somebody say God is able. So I'm like, okay, man, I'm supposed to be grown. Yes, I can't stop smoking these cigarettes. But I went in and got some information. And I just say, I'm going to use a scripture for an example. You know, the word said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. But I don't know nothing about the scripture. I just heard him say it. And he said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, I wasn't hearing it in the street. So I'm going to take what I heard in the church. I'm going to take that and I'm going to say, how do I utilize that? In other words, discern what it meant. So he said, for with God. So, I mean, I got to get with God. I mean, he'll give me the power. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I believe if I just get with him, he'll work it through the power that he has and put it inside of me, and then I'll start to apply it in my life. And that's what I had to do. So he said, okay, now it's on you now. I've given you the power to overcome the cigarettes that you were smoking. And so, and I'm going to turn it back over in just a second. So one day I remember, you know, when I thumped that cigarette, man, and I knew that I was going to want a cigarette after I came from the Waffle House. I knew I was going to want me a cigarette after I got finished. You know how to do when you had your meal if you're a smoker and whatever it is that you were doing. Man, I didn't even smoke, man, and I wanted a cigarette. But he had given me the power over the smoking a cigarette, and I never smoked again from that day on, man. And so it's just amazing how I got the information when I went into the church house because I was looking for, you know, a way to get free from what I was caught up in. So yeah, man, great topic and great dialogue here, man. So talk to me.
Man, my last comment on that real quick is just that, you know, once another just aspect, just knowing about if a place is a good place or not, if you there should be people in that congregation, in that body, that if you go in there with some physical issue, there should be people in there to be able to direct you. Sometimes the blessing is just talking to the right person.
Right.
So
that's
there should be those people in there that should be able to be like, they're still getting healed from the church, even if they sent you to the hospital, even if they sent you to the doctor, even if they sent you somewhere, that's still healing coming from the church because you didn't have that information until you went in the church and somebody in the church gave it to you.
Yeah, the God.
Well,
that's cool.
On that, I'd be 100%. But, at the end of the day, Jesus said what? He's leaving, and he leaves what? What is going to direct
the comforter.
The comforter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See,
end
of the day, again, if a person needed knee surgery, he's not going to go up in no church, and they ain't laid hands on him, and he's going to be healed. The comforter was left. So therefore, the comforter's guidance, whether it be through the regular hospital. See, now I don't like that when they call the church a hospital. You know, I don't like that. That was just something that was said, and people took it. It sound good, and they ran with it. But when you, it's like pouring water in a bottomless glass. You know, see, this is the problem. Now I like what you like what the caller said earlier. If you know the word of God, you know the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you're going to fall for any and every doggone thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
The church is not a hospital. The church is a house of God. It's for worship. It's for guidance. Now, healing can come with sending people in the right direction. You're not going to take a gunshot victim. He run up in a church. What are they going to do? Call them the ambulance. Send them to the hospital. I'm going
to
hold them.
The
church is not a hospital.
The
church is a place for worship God.
Yeah, and that's good.
You know,
that's
just something
point.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and this is why I say that, because you say how the church functions as the neighborhood clinic, and I understand exactly what you're saying. When your person gets shot, immediately you're going to pass by every church you can pass by and get to that hospital. You know what I mean? That's where you're supposed to go, because that's when they say, you know, you're using common sense to say, look here, you got to go to the hospital. You just got shot.
Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir. And let me
I'm going to tell you what I hear, and I sit back and listen.
I hear Outkast, and I hear Pastor Walla. I believe in both positions y'all bring it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna say this. And at this time, I'm gonna say to the brothers right now, I know the brother that came on. You know, I hear his tone, and I'm listening. Cause see, I'm from up there in the 5th congressional district in Nashville, and I'm really listening. Because down here in Dallas County, it's about the same as Davidson County. And today, and Outkast, today I was with some sisters. And I was listening to my sisters. And they came with some real issues. There are some brothers that have been playing religion and the political arena. And I'm really listening. And this is what the sisters were discussing today. And like you said, they deal with sickness. Because they're looking for some true answers. They're looking for some brothers that's going to be real. And what the sisters were saying to me today, and then as they gave me the answer, I went across the lot, and the young boy said, well, they check on everybody else's background. Why they ain't checking on theirs? There was a guy that ran for mayor down here in Marion. His name is Tony Long. I had heard some things on him, and I'm not going to say nothing over there. But then I come to find out on one level, that he'd been to prison, but now he's running for mayor. Now he's been the mayor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening. Just like up there in Nashville. Guess what? Y'all can't fool me. You can twist and turn. You can break around. Some of the ones that say they're doctors, they've been running drugs. Some of the ones that say they've been judges, they've been running drugs. So guess what? I'm not going to let you go now. I got one judge up there, and I think the brother said something about the debacle thing. He owned a big plantation. Wasn't his name Andrew Jackson? Okay, didn't he raise tobacco? Okay, then. He got a descendant down there. They're going to kill my cousin. I'm not going to let him go. I hear you, brothers. I'm not going to let him go. I don't care about the FBI. I don't care about the CIA. I don't care about the Pope. I don't care about the Jesuits. I'm not going to let him go. He ain't went to jail. So I'm not going to let him go. So I'm listening to you, brothers. Skirt. Don't skirt now. I'm listening now.
You personally, that's a good thing for you.
That's right, because you killed a girl. You killed a girl.
Yeah,
and y'all skirting. There's no more skirting, because guess what else I'm listening to? We got a KKK network out here bringing drugs in our neighborhood, destroying our babies. Our babies are getting destroyed by cocaine. And I was told something about that today.
Okay.
He got a car train, and he running drugs and just messing our babies up. And so I'm looking, Doc. I'm looking. Come on, brothers. Let's bring it straight now. We talking straight now.
Let me come in real quick here. And on behalf of Pastor Dockery right now, and what he gave me was the topic here, how the church functions as a neighborhood clinic. Now, let's just go back to the scripture and deal with what the Word of God said. For those who attend church, for those who haven't attended church, may not even know this scripture is available. But when you find out that it's in here, and then you take it for what it's worth, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You see, this is the thing that I'm getting, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Number one thing being, for anything take place, you'll be saved. And then it says, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. That, to me, is a powerful order right there. Then it goes on further to say, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual verb of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the healing can come in many areas. And the Word of God is saying something to us that if we tap into it, what it said, if a person is sick, then the church is a place to go, you know, to get the sickness handled. In other words, I was a sick man when I couldn't go to the hospital for this sickness, or I didn't go for this sickness because I didn't think that was a place to go. I was addicted to heroin, so I'm thinking about what the brother just said about who brought it to the community. I don't think I can go to Meharry and get this fixed. So I went to the church And then I thought maybe I was going to the right place. I almost for a minute, Brother Outcast, thought I was in the wrong place because I said, well, maybe I've been a bad boy and he's not going to do nothing for me. But the enemy was trying to make me unaware that I was getting strength when I just kept showing up, see? See, he had to give me strength first. And I kept getting strength. Isaiah 40:31 said, they that wait, you know, up on the Lord shall renew their strength. And see, I couldn't handle being free when I first walked in. I had to first just show up. Showing up sometime is much better than getting the healing right then, you see? And then the healing came shortly after. So it was a beautiful order that worked for me. I don't know how many people that went in there like that because I'd done drugs in the church. That's the way I came as I was. I didn't know nothing about how to stop using drugs. If I use drugs in 6 days, I know I'm going to use it on Sunday because I'm addicted. But now that I've been free, man, I do thank God for the man of God that was in the church, which was the overseer, and he spoke an encouraging word. And that started the process of me being healed, man. That was amazing how that take place. I was sick and then got a healing. So now I know not to go back and use that heroin anymore, my brother. So, man, you know, great, great, great topic, man. I mean, and great dialogue concerning it. So we have to understand the difference between the two and where to go at when certain things are happening, as Brother Outcast was talking. You know, where to go at when you're trying to go to the hospital and where to go at when you're trying to go to the church house. And what do I expect when I do arrive at the church? Do I expect the tradition of men, which have no effect, or do I expect, you know, that change to take place in my life? I mean, what should I expect when I walk into the building? And that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. And these brothers came in, the last caller came in, and he was saying, you know, what about focusing on the one that's doing what's right? And I said, how can you tell when they both look like, sound like, you know, the same? But to be able to discern, you know, you got to really be focused to do that. And so what I did, Outcast, was this. I automatically say, I don't know God. So I ain't going to sit up and try to pray like I know God. So what I did was I focused on the man of God that I knew. So I let him be my guide, as the Bible said. He was my guide until I was able to get with God for myself, man. And I do appreciate him for guiding me. And eventually I had a chance to get with God for myself. But, man, it wasn't easy, man. Just showing up was hard for me.
Mm-hmm. If you allow me to say this, I will.
Yes, sir.
When your ministers get sick, when the Pope gets sick, even though there's all that prayer, all hands are laid on him, north, south, east, and west. Where does he end up going? To the regular hospital to get healed if his condition is healable. And I rest my case.
Yeah, and I really want to speak on that because I really agree with that. But I think that what has to be kept in mind is you can go to the hospital all day long. You're going to have your better shot. Men don't get all the answers. And you go to the hospital and you don't get healed a lot. People die a lot in hospital for curable things.
I agree.
When
you start
in your prayer, when you start off in your prayer, and you start off with God, and you start off with the getting prayers from people, and then you go to the hospital, then now God can probably, even if you want to see how it manifests in the real in the earthly world, He can probably put you with better doctors instead of you going to a crappy doctor. That's not going to do a good job, and you're going to die from. He might put you with one of the best doctors. So, I mean, the prayer is necessary. You can't just bypass God and just go straight with the hospital. You can't bypass God like that.
Hey, but see, it's a two-sided coin. Mm. Person know their body. A lot of people know something wrong with them, and they don't go, and they drop dead. Some people wait too long, and they go, depending on the condition that they're in. There is no help for them. Now, do you not think that that person, he or she, has prayed to God, it'll go away tomorrow, it'll go away next week? And then all of a sudden,
if they are praying like that, you know, just because you moving your mouth and you're on your knees don't mean that you actually in real prayer. If you in real prayer, you trying to listen and hear God. If you actively trying to hear God and hear what he has to say about your condition, he will not let you not go to the hospital. He's telling you to go get checked out. He's telling you to go and go there, and you just ignoring it. That's not real prayer. And that's a separate situation. It's one thing to ask, but you have to be ready to receive what God has to say to you.
For his guidance. Okay, yeah, come on, Lockhead. Yeah, because that's a good point right there. You're talking about listening for his guidance, whether it's, say, go to the hospital or just keep showing up at the church and then, you know, pray without ceasing.
You know, but, right, but, you know, at the end of the day, they can't get around it. You can have all these big-time ministers, evangelists, and things in that nature. Hey, all this prayer, all this on. So someone probably had oil put on them, but guess what they had to do? Still had to go to this hospital. Yeah. Some of them survive, some of them don't. You know, even though the comforter is here, you know, there are still things that they haven't learned how to cure yet, but, you know, they're working on it. As human beings, we are living longer now than we did 60-70 years ago. They can keep diabetes at bay.
And we did.
That's what you're told. You know, I mean, even if you're going to church with a diabetes problem, someone that know you have a real diabetes problem or whatever, you know, the guidance is there, and they'll send you in the right direction. But I rest my case.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. I mean, through it all, yeah, it's really a good decision. It's catch 22 to it, as you just said. You know, one can hear from God in the church and still be led to go to the hospital, you know, versus just knowing to go to the hospital when you have been gunned down or, you know, you had a wreck or something like that, and the things like that took place in life. They take you immediately to the hospital. They don't think about going to the church. Church building probably not going to be open no way, you know what I mean, until a certain day. So you know this is the place to go. But some people just eagerly just waiting to say, hey, man, I'm going to finally go to church one day. And nothing is going on otherwise. It's just that I like to go to church and find out if I can get some help in there. You know, maybe somebody sincere, as the brother was talking about, you got to be really sincere when you go in there, and then he'll guide you in the way to go. Like some people just don't know, man. You know, even if, and I'm going to say this, even if you're going to church, they don't stop people from even going to jail and things like that, or stop them from getting fired, or stop them from, you know, the lights getting cut off and all those things, you know. But it's just the thought of, what should we expect when we go to church? That's what Pastor Duncan was saying. How the church functions as a neighborhood clinic. So what does that mean, neighborhood clinic? It almost makes you think about the hospital, Cass, is basically what you're saying. And that was me. But to be sick, you know, the word of God says, according to James, it says, if any man among you is sick, you know, let him call upon the elders. So it's got a catch there. It's like, even if, quote on what you're dealing with, you know, your mind need to be, you know, they say he's a mind regulator. You know, they be in church saying that, you know, he's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. That means I don't want to think the same way. So that's a part of a healing. He talks about that in the book of Romans, you know, chapter 12. And I like this part. You know, when it tells you that, it gives you the instruction, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, and that right there is saying my mind is being renewed. That means that my mind has been healed from that thought pattern that I once upon a time had. And I think that could be part of the healing, because I used to think heroin in the morning when I wake up. But now I'm thinking, like, give me some bacon and eggs, or some, you know, some things like that. You know,
We have a few seconds left.
All right. Praise God. It's been great. I thank you for coming in right now. Right now, we do have to wind down. And, man, it's been a great dialogue. I want to thank all of you for coming in, for having what I would say good information brought to the table. Let's just stir it up. Outcast, I thank all of you, man. I know the time is running out. We only have 60 seconds left. Outcast, Carol's out of here, man. And thank all the brothers who is able to tune in with us, if you will.
Just because he's a judge don't mean he's right. Just because he a lawyer don't make him fucking right. All kind of
glory
shit been going
on. Amen. When we say that.